Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi?
Sci-Fi.
Yes, Sci-Fi, Sci-Fi, Sci-Fi. A podcast in which three random guys read science fiction novels, then subject you to our more or less fascinating thoughts about them.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Are we really that random anymore?
No, we're just sort of a probability distribution.
Yes, probability distribution.
You like how I teed that one up for you guys?
Yeah. I am joined, as ever, by Barry and Kevin, neither of whom are, to my knowledge, harboring a humanoid android for horrible reasons.
Blue screen.
I might be one, but shh.
Yeah.
I think replicant would be more like my style.
Those are the ones that kill you, right?
No, I might be one, but I pretend I'm not.
Hey, look, there's a tortoise on his back.
I kill it.
Okay. So today, among other gibberish, we're discussing VN, The First Machine Dynasty by Madeline Ashby. Exactly who picked this book is a matter of some debate. It seems to have just mysteriously appeared.
It picked itself.
I believe it's Amy.
Amy. From the back of the book, Amy Peterson is a self-replicating humanoid robot known as a Von Neumann. For the past 5 years, she has been grown slowly as part of a mixed organic synthetic family. She knows very little about her android mother's past, so when her grandmother arrives and attacks her mother, Amy wastes no time. She eats her alive. Now, she carries her malfunctioning granny as a partition on her memory drive, and she's learning impossible things about her clade's history, like the fact that she alone can kill humans without fail-saving.
Kill all humans.
Yes. The book doesn't actually use the term memory drive, so that's good.
Yeah. It seems like the back of the book was written by somebody who was vaguely aware of what a computer was.
So she computers the computer thing. Barry.
I rebooted it.
Great. What did you think of this book?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. It made me think a lot about our potential future.
And a lot of terrifying things.
Yes. Yes. Last night I dreamt that a world leader had learned to reproduce himself by parthenogenesis. Anyway.
Budding.
Budding.
I might actually pay to see Donald actually give birth to a clone of himself out of his own belly.
Great. Kevin, what did you think?
As seems to be usual lately, by the end, I liked it.
Is that just because you get to the end of the book and that's why you like it?
No, it's just sort of like, you know, it's a slow warm-up process usually. And I will say, it takes like a huge turn, which they've sort of already spoiled on the back of the book. But so don't read the back of the book if you
if you're listening and you haven't heard already.
We should put a break in before I read the back of the book so that it's people like, that just want to listen to our intro can bail out early.
Is that yet another failsafe?
Indeed,
because they're going along and it's just like, oh, it's a nice story about a young robot girl and robot mom, you know, with a human dad. And then suddenly crazy things happen at about the hour mark.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, I was not expecting that.
It does take off quite quickly.
Yes. All right. Yes, I like this one too. It's going to take a lot for me not to like a book about Von Neumann AI android robots that can kill people and do things like that. I thought it was a lot of fun. It does get very dark in places, so be forewarned. It does sort of set up in the beginning to make you think, oh, yeah, this is sort of a nice story that happens sort of after the happy endings of the other stories where the robots have struggled to get their own rights, and now we're in sort of the happily ever after, and we're just going to have this long sitcom about, you know, androids and humans married and living together.
The good old days of Jim Crow laws.
Because androids have
wanted to work in Jim Crow, and Kevin wanted to work in the theme song to Androids, the fictional soap opera from Red Dwarf.
God.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, so overall, I thought it was a fun, dark story with some possibilities for a long-running series. So, anyway.
What does VN stand for, Steve?
Stands for Von Neumann.
Spoiler.
Not vegetarian.
Spoiler, as in, it's revealed in the beginning of the book, but nobody seemed to catch it.
But not on the back.
Yes.
It is actually kind of revealed on the back, but yes.
Damn it.
Which the reader decided to read as Von Neumann the entire time because fuck it.
How much of today's episode will land on the ground?
Oh, God.
Anyway, yes, it's time for us to create exact copies of ourselves that can take over the podcast and have spoiler-filled discussions of VN after the break, for we are sci-fi.
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 I like how you changed that up.
And welcome to our discussion section, where we can talk about the book to its bitter end. So first of all, were there any scenes that stood out?
Okay, let's go through the multiple references that that were in there. Like, it seemed like they were trying to hit you over the head with all the different Blade Runner references.
Rather than answering the question that you asked, Stephen, let's answer a different question that you've written down to be answered later.
Exactly.
Okay, go through the references.
Yes, there was the Electric Sheep, you know, cafe or whatever it was that they went to one time, but it wasn't where she was working.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is a reference to Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, better known as the movie Blade Runner.
Right. They also mentioned there was a drink that was called like Tears in Rain, I think.
Right.
And I think there were about three or four other ones, which I couldn't write down because I was driving, but I do remember them.
I'm glad that our listeners get to hear that.
Why does exactly. Why does this stop you?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be here to record otherwise, but
just go faster.
Yeah, I felt like it was one of those things where, you know, part of my brain's like, oh, cool, another one. And then like, seriously, how stupid do you think we are? You have to like have five of them for us to notice that it's a Blade Runner reference. And then I realize, well, probably not everyone's completely psychotic like us.
You mean you guys?
Well, yes, not Barry, because he's never heard of Blade Runner.
I've heard of the movie.
Yes,
I've even read the comic book adaptation of it.
That was actually pretty good.
Depends on which one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we also have a reference to one of my favorite TV shows, The Prisoner. At one point, Amy gets carried somewhere in a giant bubble, and when she gets to her destination, the guy says, oh, I see you've met Rover. And I actually had to sort of go back to figure out what he was talking about that was Rover.
Yeah, that was one where you had mentioned that, and I let it sort of slip by. That was another sort of point that I zoned out, I guess.
Give me your geek card. She'll tear it up before your eyes.
Well, I would have recognized Rover, but that was like one of those things where my ears blinked or whatever, and I just didn't notice a little bit of that scene.
I would have noticed it, but I did not.
Exactly.
Is it blinked or blunk?
Blunked.
Well, that's exciting. So, okay, so yeah, those are standout references. Any more? Somebody said something about a Terminator reference.
Yes, there was. He mentioned the phrase. One of the drinks, I think, it was called "Hasta la vista, baby."
Oh God. Okay, I missed that one.
So Terminator 2, technically. I'm sure there were other ones. I mean, I guess the entire thing was sort of like, you know, the bots were basically T-1000s, right? You know, or upgraded version of them because they weren't fluid. But they replicated that way. I mean, you know, early on in the book where she eats Granny, and that was like about three sentences in the book where they very quickly went over the fact that she ate her very quickly, and then she grew in front of their eyes, basically, which I didn't quite grasp how quickly she grew until I went back and listened to it again.
Right. So all of these androids are self-replicating von Neumann machines. In other words, they're robots that are programmed on a cellular level to be able to reproduce themselves. And this was a concept that was come up with by sort of uber scientist John von Neumann, who was also one of the guys behind the computer and the nuclear bomb. So good things and bad things. And
I'm not seeing any downside here.
Well, yeah. Combine the two of them. Why not?
And sounds like a Doctor Who episode.
Everything sounds like a Doctor Who episode to you.
By the way, I prefer the term iterating. I mean, they.
Yes, iterate.
Not replicate.
Right. Replicate means it leads to replicants, and we don't want that.
And yes. Replicators.
Yes.
I'm sure that was supposed to be sort of a quasi-reference, but yes, iterate is what they say a couple times. It's like, well, iterate, it goes to the next version. It's not identical.
Right. So these VNs, short for von Neumann, can take whatever material is around so long as it's, you know, got carbon and all that stuff in it.
Unless it's human food, apparently, which yes. kind of irritated me.
Which doesn't have carbon in it. That's why you always want to eat organic.
You're right. Good job.
Yeah, I always eat organic. Just eat charcoal briquettes all the time.
Probably it would work for them.
I like the grape-flavored ones.
Grape-flavored charcoal briquettes?
Yep. Apparently you haven't seen them.
Okay.
I don't know whether he's trolling us or not. So, right. At the beginning, it's, you know, family time with the kids and mom, robot. And then they go to, you know, the kindergarten graduation. And then I was thinking about, this doesn't seem like a very opportune time for Portia, i.e. grandma, to show up and steal the kid if that's what she's trying to do. She's like, I'll do it in front of a crowd with a bunch of humans there. Just to shake things up. I'm not sure why that made sense, but that's how it happened in the book, I guess. Anyway, so Portia shows up, decides, you know, I'm taking your kid for no apparent reason, taking, you know, granddaughter robot.
Well, yes, because it's part of her agenda, which seems to be kill all the humans.
Later on we find out she's replicating, right? It seems like she kills all of her offspring except the perfect ones for whatever, you know, bizarre programming, you know, that she has. She just decides that's the best way to do it. And I mean, they did kind of talk about later on where there's different replicating behaviors from different models.
Well, it's kind of signaled at the beginning of the book where Amy asks her dad what an R replicator is. So there are actually different replication strategies among, you know, regular biology. There's, I think, R replicators, which are basically they're just going for sheer numbers. And then there's the other kind, I forget what it is, where they're going more for quality, quality of offspring versus just sheer numbers
of offspring.
Shotgun
approach.
Yes, exactly. And so she seems to be splitting the difference by having a bunch, then killing them.
We'll just breed the Scots out of Scotland.
It's post-pruning.
Post-pruning,
as
indeed.
As opposed to pre-pruning.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so grandma's sort of nuts, and it took me quite a while. That was a little bit confusing. I don't know if it was the way it was written. It was just a weird concept I wasn't expecting to come, where, you know, she's hearing a voice in her head, and so you don't really know, is she going crazy, or is that just, you know, her subconscious, or what?
And yes, this is after she eats her grandma.
After she eats her grandma.
Oh, by the way, in order to keep these guys from overrunning and killing humans, they have something called the failsafe, which is like the first law of robotics for us old school science fiction fans.
Indeed.
Which is basically they can't even witness a human being injured badly without getting the vapors in some way.
Right. It's almost like a crueler, more psychotic version of the first law, where it's not just like you can't, you know, hurt a human.
You can't just stand by and do it, which you kind of end up doing anyway, right? Because if they lock up, they just fall over.
Right. So
some of them actually run, you know, jump in to help.
Right. It's kind of like a more and less effective depending on that model or something. But yeah, they can't even witness any kind of harm, or they just sort of like lock up and, or, you know, blue screen or just die or whatever. So it's like, oh crap, I'll go to my way to prevent this, or I'll just cover my eyes. That's close enough.
Right. And so now that they're more like citizens, they actually have very restrictive rating systems, where if there's any violence in a movie whatsoever, then they can't watch it. And
They have their fail-safe warning on the beginning.
Exactly. It's kind of like trigger warnings, which we should really give for this book.
Yes.
Yes, they even have special video overlays for different programs to edit out violence against humans, but I would just assume that all the humans in that film were really just von Neumann machines, and then it's okay, right?
Right, they could have the robots playing all the parts for robot audiences, I guess.
Right, I mean, it would be the ultimate irony if they actually had humans play von Neumann machines. Oh, wait, that does happen in the book.
Yes.
Whenever they give birth.
Yes.
So at the beginning of the book, during this whole fracas where Amy's grandmother attacks her kindergarten class, which is a sentence.
yes, it is sort of terrifying.
Then Amy looks at how she's just killed one of the kids, and it's suddenly discovered, oh, Amy doesn't have a failsafe either. Amy can just look at horrible violence and can basically just shrug it off. And that means that she's dangerous and she's being carted off to robot jail.
Right.
Then we've discovered later on that the way that this happened was that her line was a line of nurses, and so they had to be able to see human suffering, and so they sort of paired their failsafe back so that they just couldn't harm humans, not just the whole through inaction allow a human come to harm kind of routine.
It's right. Time for your vaccination. No. Well, I won't give it to you then.
Right, exactly. Got my flu shot yesterday, by the way. Just wanted to announce that to the world.
It's about time.
Yes, it's way
too late.
Zombie
patient zero, here we are.
Yeah! But anyway, so where were we? Oh, okay, so...
insanity level 34.
I'll be keeping track of the levels that you give.
36. 38.
They go up by 2.
39.
Sometimes.
There's also no consistency. But yes, that kind of level of pairing back seems like it's okay at first, but actually offers all kinds of loopholes for humans to be harmed. That was actually come up with by Isaac Asimov in one of his original iRobot stories.
Well, right. Wasn't the original books were more kind of like, look how the three laws really don't work in practice, you know?
Well, it was sort of...
Or at least some of the stories were like that.
Right. He came up with the three laws because every single story before that was about, they build this robot and then it attacks their humans. And he wanted to at least put something in about how you could design robots not to do that and the design problems that you'd have with that, including the idea of, oh, well, if I'm carrying a heavy weight and I release it above a human being... Well, it's not my fault that the weight falls on the human.
Look, I need to protect humanity, so I'm going to reduce their population to 1, and then my job is so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with folded hands and other terrifying novels. They have their own special version here, but so one thing that seemed later on is so Portia, i.e. Grandma, is showing up, you know, as an internal monologue for Amy, and... So first she thinks she's going crazy. She's like, what's that voice kind of? And then like it shows up around when Javier, or however that's being pronounced in the book.
The reader did a good job, but just did a few things that annoyed me. She was, I think, going for a Spanish accent, and I'm not entirely sure if she got there or not, but sometimes she seemed to be saying, there's a character named Javier, and she seemed to say Javied or Javien or whatever a bunch of times, and I was always a little confused.
However you'll have it.
Yes. I was always confused. Just like, is this a special robot version of the name?
Exactly. So at first, I even got confused that that voice showed up about when he did, and then she said, hey, you finally figured out it was me, and I thought that somehow, like... Her grandma had morphed into Javier at one point, like, and like she's who broke her out and stuff. And I was like, and then later on,
you guys
on, like,
have amazing abilities to be confused by books.
It's science fiction. I'm willing to believe
it. I'm just rolling with what I hear.
Yeah. So then finally figured out, no, she ate grandma. Grandma's like this, you know, kind of nanobot AI construct, like they all are, and she sort of like incorporated grandma inside, so grandma's sort of like fighting for control, like
cookies that grandma made.
Yes. And so it's funny because like halfway through I was thinking, you know, grandma, you know, Portia really reminds me of Fembots from, you know, the Bionic Man.
In which way?
Just, you know, they were kind of psychotic, right? Also, just that visual sort of like somehow worked internally for for imagining Portia, even though that's not how it was described or anything. Okay. It's sort of like a creepy, like, well, they did say that her skin was fluffing off and stuff like that, you know.
Yes. Well, I mean, like many people of our generation, I, you know, grew up being terrified of fembots. Which, you know, when you think about it, explains a few things about the political situation these days.
Don't look in a closet.
I never will, I promise. Okay, let's see.
So I think my favorite scene, since I got left out, was actually the epilogue, the very long epilogue, the last chapter of the book.
Yes, which I nearly missed.
Yes, I nearly turned the book off.
The island of, yes, Dr. Amy Monroe.
Well, they have this long, you know, meta discussion about, you know, humanity and existence and all that, and I for some reason I just found that way more interesting than most of the rest of the book, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of reminded me of, what was that other book where the epilogue was the best part of the book?
Yeah. I don't remember the book, but I know it was the one that Steve said, don't bother reading that. And then we both are like, that was the best part.
yeah, that was the Ian Banks one.
Yes. Consider Phlebas.
Yes.
I thought that part was interesting too. I mean, there were a lot of ethical stuff touched on in the book that I don't even want to discuss or think about because it's really kind of like disturbing. But
I'm going to talk about it next.
Yes, let's go.
Yes,
do it.
Basically, they go into the thing which, you know, is probably touched on now a bit with, is virtual porn really porn?
Ah, yes.
It's sort of like, well, these are robots, so you can do bad things with these young robots, and they just look young. They're just robots. It's okay.
And then you could take them out into public and, you know, have them sit next to other robots. Nothing's wrong.
Yeah. And so they had these disturbing sort of like pedobot things where, this guy was sort of like, hey, these like, you know, robots save me because now I don't have to hurt like real kids. And you're just like,
Yeah, like there was this terrifying scene where Amy's working at a restaurant. One of the regulars comes in with his two, quote unquote, you know, daughters, and their VNs that have been sort of, you know, starved to keep young, bonsai, as they say in the book. Because
one of them says, it's my birthday.
Yeah.
We play dress up.
Oh, right. Oh, what else did you do today? Then Daddy gave me a bubble bath, and I'm just and Amy seems to be totally oblivious, and I'm just like, is this going to be some kind of incredibly stupid thing where she gets lured or something? And the guy's just like,
yeah, I was waiting for that to happen,
right? And the guy comes back, and he's really religious, and he talks about, you know, his New Eden Church, who are actually part of the group that funded the VNs in the first place because they figured the rapture was coming any second now. So it would be best if the people that were left behind could have somebody along to help keep them from sin.
Right. If you do stuff with the robot, it's not sin.
Exactly.
It's not a proclivity if they don't complain.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
It makes me happy, so, you know, the Von Neumanns are happy to make me happy.
Exactly. And so that's something that sort of creeps in later on. The failsafe is not just this negative thing of if somebody gets hurt, then you freak out. It's also a positive thing where you become more happy when the humans are happy because that means they're not being hurt.
Right. And also just you like being around humans and you like helping humans and doing what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You'll go along with anything.
Basically, they're saying how, you know, someone could just show up and say, hey, get in the back of this van, and they'll just do it to make this random person happy, which seems like a poorly designed short-term program, but...
Seems like a huge design flaw to me.
Yes. There's actually a human neurological condition where people don't have a sense of fear, and so there are a couple of people that have been identified, and their information is kept very private for very good reasons.
Oh, God.
Where basically, you know, they talk about muggings and so forth, where the person will come up and, like, threaten them with a knife and just, like, you know, come with me. And like, oh, okay.
That wasn't the response I was looking for.
Right. And sometimes it just doesn't work because the person is just not seeming afraid at all. And
they're just like, something's not going right here. I don't understand. The script isn't being followed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were a couple parts in the book, like where they, you know, there's the bounty hunters.
Right.
Where they stick them in the cage and stuff. And
Right. Rick and Melissa, which seems to me like that's sort of a reference that I'm not quite getting. Maybe Rick is Rick Deckard
from
Blade Runner, but I don't know where Melissa comes from.
Not remembering anything right now.
You are Kevin. We are here.
Anyway, so there's this whole kind of tension with Amy and internal grandma where Amy's trying to keep control. Grandma's like psychotic and wants to take over. And anytime there's a kind of a danger situation, it seems like there was some other book like this where it's like, you know, okay, I'll let out the kind of like the Hulk or something, right? Like
there have been a bunch of books like this. I don't know if it's one that we've read before or not.
Yeah, it just seemed familiar, like in a very similar way. But anyway, it you know, she's kind of stuck in here, and finally she either lets grandma out to save the day, or grandma kind of like, you know, forces her way out and just, you know, basically like jumps out of the cage, ignoring all the damage and, you know, the electricity, like, you know, shooting out and stuff. And she just kind of like kills the humans like nonchalantly. And like, you know, Javier is sort of like, oh God, I can't even look at this. And, you know, right. He's almost blue screening because she's like, what? And like, oh, that's right, I forgot.
I actually had a pretty hard time with, I mean, I understand it at a technical level, the ability for Javier to basically iterate a child and then basically grow it up in like a couple of weeks and then just like walk away.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like a very hard thing to take, but I mean, I understand it at a technical level, they're like a full grown von Neumann.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, your responsibility is basically done. But you know, Amy was kind of pointing out, it's like, well, you know, they don't know anything about how the world works.
Right. And it seems like, oh, the kids would probably be fine with it too, since they're iterations of him. But then we meet up with a bunch of them later on, and they're just like, no, Dad, this is really irritating.
They're like, you suck. And they all kind of hang out together. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It does kind of touch on a lot of different sort of, you know, ethical issues related to, you know, if this technology existed, or just general issues of parenting and stuff like that, and, you know. So at the very end, there was that thing where, you know, it was kind of it seemed like a throwaway thing in the middle of the book where they said, oh, they had shipped over this, you know, shipment of, I don't know what model it was, in this, you know, container ship, and it's like fallen off into the ocean.
Right. And then at the same time, there was some sort of random mention of, oh, and a bunch of ships are going missing. And I had kind of...
I didn't even notice that part.
Yeah, I kind of blinked at that. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that sounds bad.
I remember them, you know, I remember the narrator talking about it, and then I just kind of shuffled that away in the back of the head. But it was actually a big surprise at the end of the book for me still. That
right. Suddenly we reach a giant sort of monster flower.
Right, and I almost missed the little kaiju section or whatever happened, I guess, where like the, you know, the whale pops up and like, you know.
It's Biono whale.
Yeah, I kind of missed that part too. I was like, wait, what's happening? And it's like, you know, I guess the whale ate Amy or something, but
yeah, it's more of like a giant squid thing, or something.
So right? That was kind of another interesting thing was that what was the name of the multi, you know, the one that did her food?
Rory.
So like,
and so yes, and I always sort of wondered why they had sort of a male name for a female bot. And it turned out that Rory was actually Loli. It's a clever English pun.
Oh, you mean like where the one father of the VN children didn't teach their kids L's, so that they always say, I'm so Ronry?
And that was actually called out in the book as like, oh yeah, they were racist. They thought it was a funny joke. And you're just like, oh God.
I'm not racist. I'm just a dick.
Yes. Well... anyway,
so
this was like another way that the bots kind of would interpret the whole failsafe, where it's like, oh, there's the short-term ones of like, oh, I can't see, you know, these people being killed. And then this one was sort of like a group mind where it had network capabilities, and most of the later ones didn't because of, you know, potential problems.
Right.
So this one, there were like hundreds of them or however many that were all connected. And it kind of decided collectively, well, if we kill Amy now, it's good for the humans. So let's see if we can do that. And I guess it tried several times, but couldn't bring itself to till like right towards the end of the book, obviously. But.
Right. I mean, Amy basically, well, she saves her friends by surrendering to Portia, her grandmother. And so Portia takes over. And then Amy gets absorbed by this monster that's attacking the ship, which is actually just a bunch of VNs that were sort of stored away in canisters and were trapped in a sunken ship and eventually malfunctioned and were sort of...
Well, I wouldn't even call that a malfunction, right? They basically collectively decided, because they were network models, that they would self-iterate and remove traits that weren't helpful for them to get out of the situation and promote ones that were, and they ended up becoming this... you know, sort of sea monster.
So right. They were sort of this genetic algorithm thing in action and
working as designed, but well outside their design constraints.
Right.
When someone wrote software that actually turned out better than they intended.
How weird. It's not possible. So right.
QA is there to nip that in the bud.
That was actually interesting because then the sea monster like collective intelligence thing, where it seemed like each cell was kind of like its own thing, or in that version once they evolved or something. But anyway, so.
So, you know, yeah, Amy gets absorbed by that and then basically becomes the boss of it, as far as I can tell.
Kind of reprograms it. And then she turns into this, like, well, now I was obsessed with, like, building these things in Sims, and now I can build an entire island by thinking about it.
Right. She had access to a lot more mass to work with. And she was, like, constantly, like, redesigning the islands, you know, on a daily basis based on, you know, the needs for the day. And
sounds very Akira. But
you mean Akira?
Yes. Well, anyway, however it came out in my head, it's different.
Tetsuo!
Akira!
Where is my motorbike?
Bum, 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 bum. Anyway.
Okay.
But... So anyway, at the end, she's this like island construct consciousness that, you know, who knows how many copies of her exist or not, but she can do a lot of stuff. And at that point, I'm kind of thinking, you know, there were reports where they sent her dad in basically to spy on her and kind of see what was going on. And I was thinking, that's just the end of civilization if she wants it to be, right?
Right.
You know, that most of the stuff around VNs had been sort of to keep the VNs down, you know, the fail safes, you know, keep humans safe.
Hello.
Yes. And but not just that, there was the whole kind of the homeless VNs where they purposely jacked up the price of like electronic waste and basically made it illegal for VNs to just, you know, scavenge. You had to go and get it somewhere else legally or something to prevent VNs from just iterating all the time and sort of like taking over.
Well, I mean, that's essentially what kind of happened in the beginning of the book, right? When Amy gets kidnapped and then she gets away and she's, I think, at first hanging out with Javier.
Yeah.
Right? They're like dumpster diving and, you know,
they're
eating
being freegans.
Yeah.
Fuck. I did like the scene where, you know, they have sort of the honeypot dumpsters where, you know, he's like, oh, hey, we're going to eat great tonight. And he jumps in and then like the dumpster slams shut and the alarms go off. And then didn't it say like it played some like pleasant music where it's like, the police have been called, please surrender. And
like, it's like trapping feral cats.
Right. And so
we're going to fix you.
You know, Amy's like, crap, I don't know how to get him out of this dumpster. So she just gets in the van and just floors it into the thing and like, you know, just smashes it open. And like, he kind of like, you know, stumbles out like half smashed.
Yeah. So I didn't really quite understand the last chapter. The very last sort of epilogue chapter seems to be about Portia, and I couldn't decide if it was a flash forward or a flashback or what the hell was going on.
I thought it was the basis of how Portia kind of became what she was.
Right. So she was with this horrible family.
I was really confused, but it seemed like it was like, this is how you can mess with the failsafe gradually. Mm-hmm. To break it.
Right.
So you know, gradually, you know, one step at a time, you know, where it's it was disturbing.
To me, it was kind of like she was sort of like desensitizing the failsafe code.
Right.
Right. It's like you're like training the neural net to, you know, we'll just keep nudging it a little bit further and further and further to, you know, not react.
Well, right. And I was a little unclear whether she was purposely trying to program her to break the failsafe or whether she was really just, you know, into that.
Right. Well, there was somebody who was really into S&M, and so it was sort of like okay to watch them be hurt because that's what they wanted. And somebody was going by the name of GLaDOS, but, you know, so Portal reference.
GLaDOS.
Not GLaDOS.
GLaDOS.
This is a triumph.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, that the whole scene was disturbing enough that when Portia walks away and torches it with her still locked in the basement, that was sort of a happy ending in a weird way. It's just sort of like, God, at least I don't have to listen to that for another 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if it was trying to portray people that are into S&M as evil or what, but whatever. But it was sort of, you know, so yes, there's a coda as to exactly how Portia got that way. And then the book kind of just ends, I think. Normally, I get annoyed when a book doesn't stick the landing. This one ends and then ends and then ends, and to the point
where... It's just like the AI movie.
But it didn't, you know, all the endings were fine. It didn't quite annoy me the way that normally does. Maybe I've just been gradually desensitized.
Well, I think
Ba-dum-bum.
For me, like the entire book was sort of like a journey of how VNs think about humans. Right in the beginning, you hear about Javier basically saying, you know, humans are planned obsolescence. You know, I'm going to keep iterating and basically, you know, breed humans off the planet to reduce the carbon footprint, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was kind of funny.
You know, to like
I'm an eco model.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to solve this problem for you.
It's like the more of me there are, the cooler the planet will be.
Yes. To the end where it's like, you know, I don't know if this is Amy or if it's Javier at this point, where he basically says like, well, you know, to love humans was to know them and, you know, and forgive all their flaws and things like this. Like there's some sort of epic shift in how they think about humans. So I think that's to tease it up for the next book is my guess.
Yep.
Where they're going to save us all from ourselves.
Yep.
Like the Damon.
Well, I think it's time for us to be killed and replaced by a bunch of self-reproducing androids.
We didn't talk about
iterating.
Tea yet.
What?
We didn't talk about tea yet.
Ah, oh yes. So, was there any tea?
Who cares?
I don't.
Actually, yes, there was, but you might remember.
Okay. Yes, there was barley tea mentioned, which is not really tea, but whatever.
You're such a tea snob.
Yes, this is true.
It's used in the colloquial sense.
Mm. I'll use you in the colloquial sense. All right. So, yeah, we got through that.
And now I found my subroutine for smiling.
Smile school.
Yeah. Well, it's time for us to be killed and replaced by a bunch of self-iterating androids who can increase our listenership just by overeating. Speaking of which, if you like this podcast or even feel neutral in a negative way, we'd appreciate a subscribe or review on iTunes. You can also give us a like on our Facebook page where you can find out about upcoming episodes or send us an email at sf3podcast@gmail.com where one of our people will be sure to probably ignore what you have to say.
They'll promptly reply.
Eventually.
A prompt reply on a galactic scale.
Our theme song is Love Amplifier by Safe Word, available on Magnatune. And until next time, we are Sci-Fi.
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 Yeah.
Beep.